This is the Ghost Podcast, and I have Kay on the show again with me today. Welcome back to the show, Kay.
Hey, Rosemary.
Today, we're going to be talking about dating apps. So I was listening to a podcast I really like that you actually told me about, Kay, called You Up Podcast. And this was right after the Tinder Swindler came out, and all the dating podcasts were doing segments talking about the Tinder Swindler and the impact and what did it mean and sort of analyzing it. And one of the things that Jared on You Up said that stuck with me is he said, where is the call to action for the apps? Where is the accountability to Tinder for what happened and ensuring that this type of thing does not continue to happen, or at least have some type of educational resources around that? And that got me thinking a lot about the dating apps. And Kay, you and I have talked about this. You know, you and I have both been reading a lot of articles and doing some research, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. There are some people out there claiming that Tinder has created the biggest change in human behavior in society today. And what they've done is they've really created this addictive swipe culture. And I think we've talked about swipe culture before, but we're going to dig in a little bit to what does that mean? What are some of the numbers behind it? And how specifically has Tinder changed behavior? So let's talk a little bit about the numbers behind Tinder. So I've seen a couple of numbers in a couple different places, different articles saying that the dating industry itself, online dating apps, is a $10 billion industry. So think about that for a minute, because we're going to be diving into more on what's the motivation for these apps. So to give a little bit of perspective on how Tinder has really taken over the online dating world, in 2015, Tinder had an annual revenue of $47 million, and they achieved their first $1 billion revenue in 2019, which was about $1 billion. And then by 2020, they reported $1.4 billion in direct revenue. Tinder and online dating have actually caused a shift in human behavior. We are seeing just a completely different way that people are thinking about connecting with each other. And I just read all these numbers because what I want to point out is that the online dating industry is a $1 billion industry. The online dating industry is invested in keeping people single. They do not want you to go off of the apps. They want to keep you on the apps. And they've actually created this addiction to the apps, which has caused a gamification of dating, to shift behavior to where people have no investment in getting to know someone because they just have this addiction to going back online. And everybody's convinced that the perfect person or the next casual thing is just one swipe away. And it's shifted this mindset that you don't have to get to know someone or really take anything any further than or any deeper in a connection. One of the big ways in which the dating apps have been successful is convincing us that we don't need relationships as humans. So the apps themselves didn't start out the way that they're being used today. You know, I know I was on OkCupid, 12 years ago or whatever, and Match.com and sort of the OGs of the dating apps. And I think the intention was really different with those apps. You know, there wasn't a swipe. It was, read people's profiles. I know OkCupid has tons of questions that you answer to try to actually find people that you're compatible. So, the whole intention, I think, with those original apps was really trying to help people find relationships and make connections with other humans. And then Tinder comes along and introduces this swipe idea where you're making, couple second judgment, looking at someone's pictures, maybe reading their profile, and then you just do a quick swipe. And after doing research into this, realizing that dating apps are a multi-billion-dollar industry and that they're really motivated to keep you single, to keep you swiping, and they actually profit from your loneliness. So they really program you to think about the next swipe, the next match, and then in the meantime, they make billions of dollars.
Now, I sort of equate these online dating app companies, they call them digital cowboys. It's these digital industries that have risen that have little to no regulation, right? No business regulation. There's no laws around what they can and can't do. They get around doing terrible things by, you know, tiny little clauses like written into legislation, right? I sort of equate them, and I know we've talked about this before, and some people aren't going to like me for this, but this is very similar to like an Airbnb or a VRBO who just makes something up. And the idea is good at first, but then it just turns into something that frankly is bad and it's unethical and it affects a lot of people's lives negatively. And anybody who knows about that world of, you know, short-term rentals, it's a big problem. It's very destructive in a lot of communities, but we won't go down that path. But my point is these are these like digital companies that states, they don't know what to do with them. Like they don't know how to keep them in check. They don't understand the bad things that are happening, right? Because of these platforms. They get reports, but they just don't know how to handle it. But yeah, the problem is in the short-term rental industry and dating apps, those are just two examples. There's so many of these like digital companies that have risen up and they're so new, right? Like the concept is so new. You do not know like what the long-term effects are, right? On human behavior, economically, so many, you know, just socioeconomic factors, how things are going to be affected, just because these things are so new. To me, these dating apps are particularly dangerous because you are talking about human connection. If I thought it was bad for me in my age group and up to hear about the horrible things that people in their 20s are running into in the dating space and how pessimistic and negative they are about just base human things that should exist and common courtesy that should exist between people. I get really upset like thinking about it. And it, I think it's just one of those things like technology, phones, people are just becoming so disconnected from everything. And that includes other humans. I mean, people are already becoming disconnected from each other with the rise of social media and being able to hide behind a screen. These apps just add to that, right? You're hiding behind a screen. I think there's a lot to learn still about how human connections are being affected and like what the long-term effects are between humans because of these stupid dating apps. This is a business, the online dating industry, and the CEO of Bumble, her name is Whitney Wolf Hurd. She actually used to work for Tinder and she got the idea to start Bumble because she actually experienced some sexual harassment and some sexism while working at Tinder. So she came up with this idea. Why don't we have a dating app where women essentially kind of make the rules? We all know that's not necessarily how it goes on Bumble and women don't always have great experiences on Bumble by any means. So Whitney Wolf Hurd, the founder of Bumble, she had an interview with CNBC where she made the statement, you can monetize anything. That's word for word. You know, these people are absolutely in it for money. I mean, anybody starting a business, right, is generally in it for money, potentially good causes in some situation. Online dating, like you said, it's meant to keep people stuck. Going through the merry-go-round and never get off them. There may be a small percentage of people who do. I'd say the swipe apps have really changed that. Like I do remember online dating 10 years ago, but there was a higher level of effort that you had to put into these apps. But with the swipe apps, the model, I believe, is very, very different. It's about keeping people hooked, changing their brain behaviors, getting that dopamine hit. It's about keeping you addicted to these apps.
Absolutely. I wanted to do a little bit of validation into this. So I did some research and I'm going to read some stats to you, okay, and get your reaction. On Tinder, what I researched, and I did find different numbers looking at different sources. So I went with the most common number of this numbers that I saw when I was doing this research. But the numbers I see for Tinder is that they have 57 million users and 62% of those are male. Now, that male to female ratio is something I've heard a lot of debate about. And I've heard numbers closer to 75% male. So I did look at a couple other sources and I found a source that specifically related to Android users And out of Android users on Tinder, 75% are male and 24% are female. And then I found another source that said something similar, but I also found several sources that said 62%. So I think probably, you know, between 62 to 75% male to female is probably accurate given what set of statistics you're looking at.
And I do wonder why, like, why do you think there's more men on these apps versus women? Do you think it's women have had such bad experiences like with men that they've come out or left those dating apps because of all the sexual harassment, frankly, that occurs? Why do you think that is? What do you think the difference is?
Well, one number that I found is that about 30% of people on Tinder are married. So I don't know if that would account for the larger number of men who go on Tinder when they're married and women who don't use dating apps when they're married as often, possibly. What's interesting is that women tend to swipe right less than men. So I found a statistic that said men swipe right more than women about 46% of the time, while women swipe right only 14% of the time. And this is a New York Times statistic, and they use this study to show that men are less selective than women when choosing potential matches.
So Rosemary, I think that women have to be more selective than men on these apps, right? Because our health, our mental health, our physical safety, all of this is at stake. Women want to, I believe more than anything, yes, physically protect themselves, but also emotionally protect themselves. So yeah, I mean, I could see why fewer women are on these apps, because I know probably like you, I've had bad experiences right away on these apps. Some of the responses I've gotten from men are absolutely disgusting, right? It horrifies me. It's like, why do I want to stay on here, like, and keep subjecting myself to this sexual, emotional assault, like via text message? I'm being treated like an object and not an actual human. I wonder, like, when these apps started, if maybe the split was more even, right? Like, was there a more even split between men and women, and now more women are pulling away because they're realizing it, this is not worth it. My mental health, my physical safety, like putting myself out there, I'm not getting the return, right, on the effort that I'm putting in. I don't know, maybe these guys feel like they have less to lose and they're just shooting their shot. It's another way for them to fill their time, potentially get easy sex from people. Maybe that's what the split is about.
And I have seen a lot of content on TikTok and Instagram lately about how many women are just opting out from dating. I believe I've seen it cited in numerous TikTok videos. I haven't verified it, but I guess a study came out recently that said single women without kids is the happiest demographic in the United States. And I feel like a lot of women are decentering men, not seeking that male validation, and just realizing that that's not something that's essential to their life.
That's right. And I think that there's great guys out there, that's for sure. But, and this is a sentiment shared by many of my female friends. So many women they've made it so far in their life. They have mortgages, they've got great jobs, they've been able to raise children, mainly on their own. What are men bringing to the table? I think it's natural for everybody to want connectedness, right? And companionship, absolutely. I find that a lot of these guys, and I hear this from my friends as well, they're not bringing anything else to the table. Like, I don't need you to survive. I want you, but I need you to be emotionally available, right? I need you to treat me like we're equals here. I need you to, if you say that we're going to have a date on a certain day, I need you to not flake. I need you to be reliable. I need consistency. Yes, I want companionship. I love men. There's no doubt. But I've had this experience, and a lot of my other girlfriends have as well. This is just the same shit over and over, like with these guys. And I'm not saying it's solely on online dating. It absolutely happens offline as well. But women have advanced in so many areas. Men are not advancing in areas that women need them to, which is that emotional availability, the consistency. And I know some of that is due to societal conditioning, but that has got to change. Women have been able to change a lot. Men need to change. Maybe they need better role models. I think there's a lot of resistance. It's generational. They got to step up.
I think that's a really great point. And one of the things that is concerning to me that I hear a lot of narrative about is that we don't need human connection, that that's not important. It's important to be single, to be happy. And I think there's validation to the concept of single on purpose, which is a book that I read, and not centering your life or placing the value your life has on a connection with someone else. But I do think that that is part of this myth that has been perpetuated, that the dating apps have caused the shift in, is that we don't need human connection, and that the apps have actually enabled, or should I say disabled, that human connection. It's degraded it to such a high degree to keep you, again, going back to the addiction and the dopamine hits of the apps. But it's not just the apps themselves, which are a $10 billion industry, but how many books, how many podcasts, how many TikTok creators are out there talking about dating experiences. I feel like we're at a point where people are more aware than ever before in human history of how relationships and what people do and people's actions affect each other, which I think has a lot of positives, but I think that there's downsides and negatives to that, because I feel like people are overanalyzing every single step, every single thing that happens, red flag, toxic trait. We've lost this skill set to really develop real connections.
Right.
And, you know, we have it because we're in our 40s, but again, you're going back to 20 people in their 20s and 30s who this is all they've ever known. How are they building that skill set? I mean, maybe this is why they're ghosting their job, because they've never had the value of relationships. So let's talk a little bit about how Tinder has actually done this. So they are fully aware of what they're doing. So it's not an accident that behavior has been changed because of Tinder. They have designed their program and the swipe culture, which now all the other dating apps have copied. So in the beginning, they give you really good matches to get you hooked, right?
Yep.
And that's what drives you to keep swiping and swiping. And you just convince yourself that it's just going to get better. But what they do is then they actually give you worse matches or less desirable matches once you've had Tinder for a certain period of time. And this creates something called the infinite choice conundrum. So you are convinced that you will find the perfect match. And so that sort of paralyzes you from getting into deeper relationships. It's like there's so many options, you just can't choose at all. And it makes you less satisfied with each choice that you have. And going beyond this, so beyond just these initial connections we have with people, it also teaches you, or it does not teach you, how to deal with real rejection and conflict, because nothing ever goes that far. And I actually came across a concept called rejection violence, where if you're chatting with someone, you know, it's like you're more bold and brave behind a screen because it's not a real person. It doesn't feel like a real person you're dealing with. And so if you're chatting with someone and they do reject you, people feel emboldened to be toxic, rude, over the top sexual harassment. I've heard and seen, you know, TikTok videos and things about the things people say when you feel like you're rejected.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's interesting. I think that with these apps, the bad behavior is documented. Now, these platforms, they just enable this very dismissive, not thoughtful, careless type of bad behavior. But it's so crazy now because it's like, it's all documented, you know, like people take snapshots, it's on Instagram, there's TikTok videos being made about it. The interesting thing to me to see is the same stories, like being told over and over and over. And frankly, I'm speaking from the view of a woman who dates men. I see the same patterns of behavior over and over with how men on these apps are treating women. Absolutely. There's some women on there as well that are not treating men that great. But I think these apps have enabled these unfortunate, you know, inconsiderate bad behaviors, and they've encouraged it in a lot of ways, just like with the way the systems are set up. But it's crazy because it's like, we can all see what's going on in this space now. Yet people keep coming back, like, to the apps, like they keep trying. And I think it's because people, they want connectedness, right? They have hope still. Like, even though they go through these traumatic experiences online, you keep trying, you keep putting yourself back out there. What's really discouraging to me is a lot of my friends, like, they keep trying to put themselves back out there, but they just keep having these really bad experiences. And I am not optimistic at all about these dating apps, the directions that they're going in. Until these companies have more accountability to change or put in guardrails so people's physical safety and their mental health, you know, are protected, I do not have a lot of faith in these platforms. I think there's a small percentage of people where it does work out. And I think a lot of that is just pure, that's just pure luck. But for the majority of people who are in these apps, I think they're very negative for people. I think they rattle people's sense of self-worth. I do not have any faith like in these companies to do the ethical and moral thing as far as protecting their clientele, frankly, protecting their mental health and their physical health.
Statistically, you're right. Only 13% of Tinder matches have led to marriage. And to give you an idea on how many matches are happening. So the first year of Tinder, there were 350 million swipes. And by Q4 of 2020, there were 130 billion downloads of Tinder. Why do 35 to 54 year olds in the US use online dating apps like Tinder? So 48% said to find an exclusive partner, 33% to have something fun or interesting to do, which I'm not sure what that means, and 26% to have casual sex.
Those are interesting numbers.
And there was a recent study that was done. There was about 10,000 millennials that were surveyed regarding their use of Tinder. And it turned out that the motivations were categorized into four main types. So the first one was looking for a hookup, which was 22%. Looking for a relationship was 4%. Confidence boosting procrastination, whatever that means, was a category. And that was 44%. And other was 29%. And Tinder currently claims an average matching rate of 1.63%, which is incredibly low. And I want to circle back to what you were saying about the apps encouraging bad behavior. I think even more than encouraging, it's also just normalizing bad behavior, such as ghosting, which is, you know, what this podcast was started about. And ghosting is definitely been normalized and more common. And that's just one outcome. But you actually sent me an article about the mental health effects of dating. So this was a Pew Research Center study published in early 2020. And I'm going to read from this article that you sent me. They found that 45% of users reported that online dating left them feeling more frustrated than hopeful. 60% of women aged 18 to 34 say someone on a dating app continued to contact them after they said they were not interested. 47% report that another user sent them an unwanted sexually explicit message or image. 44% report that someone called them an offensive name. 19% said they had someone threaten physical harm. 53% of women say that dating apps are an unsafe way to meet people. And 26% report that the experience was mostly negative.
I really don't know if it's one of those things where you have to just change your mindset and have thicker skin, because I read plenty of stories about women and men, right, who have tried to change their mindset. They keep going back in, they keep trying, and they're just in it for years, right? And it's the same shit over and over with how people are acting. You think things go great, maybe going out on a date or two, and then that person just disappears on you and gives you nothing. I think ghosting, yes, it's becoming normalized. I did not realize that it was becoming normalized at all, but it is absolutely, it's emotionally abusive. It's mean, it's unkind, and it needs to stop. I mean, by and large, most of what I see out there with the research that I've done, it's not saying ghosting is something that should be accepted. I've seen a few things here and there that's like, well, if you're in an abusive situation or you're scared of this person, yeah, sure. Ghosting or whatever you want to call it, pulling away, that's all right. The majority of articles that I read out there, posts that I see in the social space, reading books, it is a very, very toxic and damaging behavior. And there's this expectation like, well, if you know your self-worth, you should just be able to walk away from it. That's not, people crave connection. They have since the beginning of time. Like, this is about common courtesy between people. And if you're a sensitive person, even if you're not a sensitive person, you can be the most confident person in the world. I think that these behaviors, like this ghosting, the love bombing, the mirroring, the future faking, I've dated plenty of men in my life. This online dating experience that I've had, that was a new one for me. Me and everybody else and their mom was experiencing this right now. this is not what I remember at all dating, you know, 5, 10 plus years ago. The behaviors are absolutely changing. These are toxic, damaging things that can rattle people's self-worth. It rattles your trust, right? And ability to have relationships going forward. This is very serious, what's going on in these spaces, these changed behaviors and how humans are treating each other and interacting. Very, very dangerous. And I don't know how it's going to be done, but these digital cowboy companies, they've got to be held more accountable. I have no doubt that there's been, I mean, obviously people have mentally been affected. I have no doubt that there's people who have been suicidal and committed suicide because of the things that happen inside the space. Besides the fact that, you know, someone can ghost you, what if you're a sexual assault survivor, but you still want connection?
I think another thing that these apps do is it's not necessarily one person ghosting you or one person flaking on you. It's when it happens over and over and over again that it just really builds this trauma. And every time you're traumatized, it opens up past trauma to the point where it just hits people's self-esteem, their feelings of self-worth, their mental health so hard that it just takes that much more to get over that and to be open and to be vulnerable and to trust someone in the future.
It's upsetting to see, but, and I've heard other people on podcasts talk about how the online dating space just sets people up, right, for traumatic experiences.
And I think that's something that people should keep in mind is maybe you think it's not a big deal to flake on someone or to ghost someone, but just realize if that person is actively online dating, it's happening to them over and over and over again. But I'm even getting discouraged by how many people are just having no regard, no consideration that I'm a real person, that I'm an actual person behind the screen.
And it is a reflection of the other person. It's not about you, but these apps, they turn people into commodities. They devalue people. They really do. And you're not devalued. You're a wonderful person. All of my friends, they're wonderful people. This is about the apps encouraging these horrible behaviors. It is not about you. You can't make sense of it, right? There's nothing to make sense of here. These businesses set up these platforms that are changing human behavior.
And the outcome we're seeing is after trauma, after trauma, after trauma, after disappointment, after shitty treatment, people are choosing to remain single, which I do. Again, I think that's a valid choice. I think that's a choice that you can definitely live a happy and fulfilling life. But at the same time, as humans, we do crave connection. And I think that that is an outcome that I don't know if the apps are intentionally causing that, but that's definitely an outcome that we're seeing. And we're seeing the behaviors that are happening on the apps go into other sectors of society. Job ghosting is common. Friendship ghosting is common. The way that the behaviors have been normalized is really affecting relationships globally.
Yeah, across the board, it absolutely is. There needs to be stricter guardrails in place on these apps to protect people. I mean, see, people will still be shitty, right? But this is just like a train that totally, totally derailed over the years here.
And it's completely intentional. The apps are fully aware of the effect that they have on human behavior, and they promote that and embrace that because that earns them more money. They've learned that this has actually caused a lot of people on dating apps are reporting lower self-esteem, both men and women. I feel like relationships have been devalued. And I feel like this is all part of, you know, almost a bigger trend to disappear into the online world, that their social media has replaced real world experience. And the only thing that you can do on the apps is to block someone. And like you said, that doesn't really mean anything because people just make new profiles and come back.
This is just, it's a shit sandwich. Mentally, you have these online dating experiences, you know, years ago. If something ended, unless you had mutual acquaintances, you really didn't know what was going on with the other person, right? You had to move forward because you didn't have information to keep you hooked, like inside of the experience. Sure, it was like hard and you had to step through the whole letting go process. Because information wasn't available, it did kind of help you move forward in a healthy way. Now, all these crazy things happen in the online dating space. but the person is still there digitally. You know, the dating apps, those are a total CF, but then you add in the social media portion and, you know, those types of behaviors like orbiting, and I don't even know what all the other terms are, but you have these terrible experiences, but it's so easy to like fall into that trap of like, especially when somebody ghosts you, you get stuck in that. I think it's called the Zeiger effect. It's a rumination effect. It's very normal. And I think that's something we need to talk about too more is if you're ruminating, like after someone ghosts you or you have a bad experience in these online dating apps, what you're experiencing is extremely normal. There's a term for it. It's called the Zeiger effect. And with an ambiguous loss, that is what occurs. And it can be, it can keep you trapped, right? In this anxiety state, constantly thinking, trying to find closure, trying to understand why something happened. But these apps have like normalized it for people to not have human decency.
One thing to consider that we do have the ability to block people or report them off the apps, but that occurs after you've already experienced the negative action. So there really isn't any accountability or preventative measures to prevent these types of behaviors from happening in the first place. And one of the things that I've noticed that you and I have talked about is if someone you meet on the apps is actually a decent, nice person to you, you almost don't trust that anymore.
Yes.
You've got so much distrust built up from people that you seem to have a perfectly normal conversation with, and they end up just completely disappearing or treating you like shit or flaking, that it's exceptional if someone is not a piece of shit.
That's right. It used to be that if someone was making future plans with you, talking about doing things with you in the near future, that was considered a good thing. Now it's considered a red flag. Like if people are talking about within the first month, meet my family and friends, let's go on a trip together. All of that is considered a red flag now. Like this, I feel like I'm in upside down land, right? From where things were.
And I know we're talking about the experiences of women on apps, but I do know that men have a lot of bad experiences. I doubt they have the types of sexually explicit comments and innuendo that we receive, but I do think it's on both sides. I don't want to lose sight of that, that it's enabled and normalized really shitty behavior on both sides. And this isn't going away. I don't think we're suggesting that people are going to stop using dating apps, that we're going to get off of social media. But what we really wanted to talk about with this episode is just to have awareness that when you're using the apps are trying to program your brain to behave in a certain way. And I think being aware of that and using the apps with that knowledge, and just remember that there are people behind these apps. There's people behind these messages. There's real people and real feelings and real emotions. You possibly lose sight of that when you're just on the apps all the time, and that becomes your primary method of meeting and communicating with people.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I do think those apps, they've been set up in a way, right, to be addictive. And I know some people who are 100% addicted to them.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting is that there's more single people now than ever. So while the apps have given us this perception of so many options and so many people to meet and so many methods to make connections with people, it's actually because of the devaluation of relationships. It's increased the number of single people, and there's less relationships and sure, less successful matches. One of the numbers I found is that if you did meet someone on Tinder, you have a 30% chance higher of breaking up than if you met in real life.
Yeah, I get it. Why people are choosing to be single. I mean, why constantly disturb your peace? Like, what is the payoff here? And what I hear a lot is like, even when people think things are going well with someone, you never truly know, right? Like what that person's intentions are. And you just constantly hear about people ghosting 2 months in, 6 months in, and beyond. And I know that stuff has always existed in the past, but I feel like you definitely see a higher frequency of it now. I think people are choosing to stay single, a lot of women, because they are protecting their peace. Like they're tired of the bad behavior. They're tired of the same grind. They're tired of putting themselves out there, being vulnerable, having trust in a guy, you know, thinking maybe this is the person that I'm going to be able to make something with. I've had terrible experiences, but I have hope. I want a companion. I'm going to put myself back out there. But how can it not jade you? I mean, just as a human, how can that not jade you? How can you not doubt, right? The goodness in people, the return on effort, it's not what it should be, right? And there's too many people getting hurt.
Yeah, okay. I think you're absolutely right. I know I personally experienced just so much depressing behavior. And to the point where, like I said earlier, I just expect people to be pieces of shit. And when someone's not, I am surprised. And I think that the best thing we can do is each of us and people listening to this podcast, just treat people the way that you would want to be treated. Don't ghost, don't breadcrumb, don't orbit.
This is not a game. We're talking about people's emotional well-being. We're talking about people who make themselves vulnerable because they have good intentions. You know, they want real human connectedness, whether that's through casual or maybe something more serious. You can be a decent human being in those situations and other situations as well. And like you said, you know, treat others how you would want to be treated. I will also add, if your mom and dad would kick your ass if they found out how you were treating a man or a woman through these apps, don't do it. If you wouldn't want someone to treat your sister the way that you treated somebody, don't do it. If you're new to the online dating space and nobody has told you, you need to research the space. You're not being overly cautious. You're not being negative. You got to know when you go in there, the way people treat you speaks to them. It does not speak to you. All right. And I think that's a hard concept for a lot of people to get. And I think it takes time to realize. And unfortunately, a lot of people have to go through bad experiences before they get there, and they grow and they learn how to respect themselves and not tolerate the level of shit that's doled out on these dating apps.
The best that all of us can do is to remember to treat people the way you'd want to be treated. Use the apps responsibly, recognize that they're a tool. And also, I would say be aware of your own actions and others' actions, but I think we should also give people more of a chance to fail. I mean, as you're getting to know someone, you may say or do something that is not entirely representative of your personality and realize that other people may say or do something as well, and give them more than one chance, I feel like, unless it's obviously some huge, you know, red flag that would be incredibly toxic to your life.
Yeah. I mean, dating has been whittled down into some sort of fucked up science now. Does anybody have the exact answer as to how to make these things work? No, they absolutely don't. You need to be true to yourself. Even though it can be very hard when people hurt you, continue to be kind, be better than that, right? If it means that, you know, these online dating apps are sucking you down, they're making you feel like shit about yourself, they're making you feel like shit just about humans in general, you might want to get off of them, and that's okay, right? And find other methods of meeting people. I know that's easier said than done in a lot of circumstances, but your mental health, right, is worth so much more.
I think what we've really seen is, because this behavior is so common and so normalized, that people start to think that it's not actually that bad. It's not that big of a deal to ghost someone. It's not that big of a deal to cancel plans last minute or to flake on someone or to just not even show up. And I think we just need to have that awareness that if it doesn't feel right to you, don't let the apps change that and make that normal for you.
Come on, people, be kind to each other or else we are all fucked.
Okay. Thank you for joining me today to talk about this topic. I know you and I have had a lot of conversations about this. I've also posted multiple articles on the resource page of our website if you want to look at some of the information that we've talked about and shared. And listeners, if you have a ghost to share or you would like to contribute to the podcast or be on an episode, you can find us at theghostpodcast.com. You can also find us on Instagram at theghostpodcaststories, or you can send me an email at theghostpodcaststories@gmail.com. And if you like this podcast, please leave us a review. And as always, thank you for listening.